Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two here on a Friday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. This time next Friday, it'll be our first Football Friday.
It will be.
We'll have the opener done and over with. We're talking about Sunday
with
Night Football.
The Cowboys having just traded Parsons.
Has that hit you yet, though, that, like, this is kind of it? Like,
football is played in 6 days.
Yesterday, really got the college season underway. We even had a ranked team play. Tonight, no ranked teams, but Auburn, Baylor, Georgia Tech, Colorado are kind of the marquee games. Tomorrow, we have two top 10 matchups. Sunday, we've got another one. I mean, it starts in earnest.
Remember what I said about the desert?
I can see the oasis.
The thing about it is that it also currently doesn't affect me that, like, yeah, it's like, oh, my God, we're already here. Like, it's around the corner. No. I know that it's darkest before the dawn. And
right.
Like, the next...
The darkest was Tuesday. We're so close yet so far.
Honestly, it's just going to be like, ready? Next Wednesday is going to be hell itself.
See, I don't know about that because we're also going to have a Monday night college football game. Yeah, just the one. We're going to have one.
It might be Tuesday.
So it might be Tuesday where it's like, okay, we had that. Okay, but Thursday's still a little bit away. But like that's the thing too. We've got the Brazil Friday night game.
But Tuesday's also the day after Labor Day.
Oh, right. So, yeah, the 3-day holiday week.
So it's going to hit you like a Monday, but it's also going to be a Tuesday.
That's right.
Isn't that the worst kind of Tuesday? The Tuesday that's actually a Monday?
No, you know, I'll say no just because it does equal a 4-day work week for many.
Yes, but that's the start of it.
It's the start of it, but it's a bonus. That's why I never put Monday as the worst day of the week. You had the day off before. Even if it was a day off of work. You were able to at least somewhat relax, maybe sleep in, hang out, do what you wanted to do. That's why Tuesday's always been to me the worst day of the week. Monday was the day before. Now you're in the early middle part of the week. Wednesday, at least, you know, it's hump day, right in the middle. Tuesday, you're still in the beginning parts of the week. That's why it's the worst.
But does that fix it?
It burns a little bit when it's the Monday.
Right.
But at least you had the day off before. I think that's the key part. You had the day off before.
But I feel like it makes it worse because it's that Tuesday, but it's also like it hits you like a Monday. But then Wednesday is all of a sudden going to fix it and be like, oh, man, we're already at Wednesday.
Yeah.
But then that Wednesday is also right before that first football game, and it's almost – it's so close you could taste it, and it's still not there. So that Tuesday I think is going to be the worst next week, also because Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, absolutely. Worst day of the week by a margin for me. What is going to burn, though, without Micah Parsons there, I mean, we've mentioned it, even with Parsons there, there's a good chance the Cowboys are bad. The first game of the year might kind of be a dud. The last few years, we've been kind of graced with some good games. Detroit beating Kansas City. Last year, if Isaiah Likely just doesn't have a big foot, Baltimore probably wins. Like, we've had some good banger openers. I think next Thursday might.
I hope it is.
Might kind of be a dud.
I hope Dallas gets the smackdown that they deserve, especially after this.
I want that, but then when I'm watching it in the third quarter, it's not close. I'll be like, this kind of sucks.
I want people to turn off the Dallas Cowboys. I really do.
Well, and that's the key. You want, to a certain extent, you almost want Jones to be punished for this, right? But I mentioned their first home game, it's going to be sold out. There might be boos, but a bunch of people will be there. You'll still get the scene of when the doors open and it's the just the general admission. You'll still get people running in there. That'll still happen. I want a good game, and I just don't think we're going to get it. 803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Nick is with us next. Nick, how are we doing today?
How you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Great. I'm really just calling because I think Jerry did this to give his team an out. I mean, if he has Micah Parsons, you know, Trayvon Diggs, they got the other corner coming back from injury, and then you went out and got Pickens to line up with CeeDee Lamb, and you got Dak Prescott coming back. The team has to play well if you got all those star players.
Right.
Now that Mike is gone, the team is allowed to be 6 wins, maybe 5 wins. And then Jerry looks like a genius, and he's like, oh, see, guys, I was planning for the future, and now we got a whole bunch of, you know, future draft picks, 2 in each, you know, the next 2 years, first round, 2 of them. And he gives the team an out.
I think
if he kept Micah Parsons and paid him, then they have to win 8-10 games.
And a lot of your salary, Nick, thanks for the call, and a lot of your salary is going to 3 players. One of them is an aging quarterback who keeps getting hurt. Like, oh, man. And that's the thing, too. Dak gets hurt again, and Parsons is out. Oh, then he's sitting there. I can't fire Brian Schottenheimer. Like, I got to let him
keep
build.
My puppet.
Yeah, I got to let him build this out. I think Nick's maybe onto something there.
Nick might be onto something in a little bit of it. It's like a recovery sort of thing.
Well, it's like you said, you know, he may have fallen into a good deal by mistake. It's because the ego got there.
Right.
This could be the same thing of...
It's the fallout of, now I don't look bad because, hey, we were not going to be good anyway.
Yeah, the brass could be sitting there going, hey, it's so we're not going to be good, and we're kind of, we're not having a good situation with Parsons. We trade him, get picks, and be bad. To Nick's point, they have an out.
They have an out now, and I think that's the perfect – I don't think that's why they did it. I still think that has to do with ego at every turn with Jerry Jones there. But it's a – it. I do love that from Nick, though. Like, it is the perfect parachute.
Yeah. Deron Bland, by the way, is the other corner.
So, yeah.
He is also better than Trayvon Diggs. Just as a corner.
Diggs had 1 year where he got a lot of picks, but he was also getting toasted half the time. That's why he got so many picks is because quarterbacks were not scared to throw at him.
Well, it does help. When you were originally a wide receiver and had to convert to corner, he does not have the same mantra that most corners do, which is you're on defense because you can't catch.
Mm-hmm.
He is, in fact, not fat. He could catch. He had 11 picks in 21, by the way.
He can catch.
He can catch.
I will say, though, it's brilliant because, again, what does Jerry love more than Jerry? Jerry being smart.
We were only going to win 6 games this year anyway, so we traded Micah so that we could start rebuilding for the future. I'm Jerry Jones.
I will always give Jones credit on this, though. He does usually draft well. Very rarely will you have a Dallas team that doesn't have a star player that they drafted.
Or at least, at minimum, a solid first-round pick, typically.
Yeah, they usually do very well. I mean, Deron Bland, Trayvon Diggs. We'll see about Donovan Ezeraku. Like, they may already have some good dudes on the defense because they do typically draft well. Look at Dak as well. They get him in the 4th round. Worked out for them. CeeDee Lamb's a draft pick of theirs. Jake Ferguson's a draft pick of theirs. They typically draft well. The problem is, and I've said this for a while too, is the coaching hires usually are much more to the liking of Jones. He likes the yes men. He kept Jason Garrett far longer than he should have. Mike McCarthy, who I have more respect for, or at least I think he gets too much hate, he kind of saves McCarthy in a way. McCarthy comes over there after the ending in Green Bay in which he seemingly was villainized by Aaron Rodgers, made to be kind of like the fool sort of deal. And then Brian Schottenheimer, who I think maybe more than almost any of them really feels like a yes man kind of hire.
Mm-hmm.
But they typically do end up drafting very well.
I'm not sure about that right now, man. I'm looking back at their draft classes.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they really didn't get much of an impact out of outside of their offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. They really didn't get much. And part of that is one was injury, but also you're not getting much statistical input from a couple of them. two of them are offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Beebe in the third round, Tyler Guyton in the first. But Mozzie Smith was a first round pick 2 years ago.
No, yeah, like their last
only has
like,
2 sacks in his career.
Yeah, their last like 3 drafts. No, you're right. Last 3, maybe even 4. Not great. That's
Jake
right.
Jake Ferguson is kind of the Jake Ferguson and the offensive line are what's saving him right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's invested 3 high picks into offensive linemen in the last 3 years, 2 firsts and a 3rd. But outside of that, Jake Ferguson's the only one that's really been kind of, I won't say really, but like he's only the one that's been the most relevant,
mm-hmm.
and it's not even close. And what do they do this year, though? First round? Go back to the offensive line. It's safe. It makes them look good.
Well, no.
Jerry loves looking like a genius.
Well, no. They have to replace that. Remember, they've had a
yes.
Hall of Fame offensive line guys retire in pretty quick succession.
And I do like that part of their like roster building is they do know the importance of an offensive line. To a point where Stephen Jones did have to course correct when Jerry wanted Johnny Manziel.
Zach Martin.
Zach Martin was the selection. So the Cowboys brass does understand that offensive line is important. They're lucky that's the case because that's all they've gotten right as of late.
I mean, Deron Bland, I mentioned him. I mean, he's an all-pro corner. They get in the 5th round back in 22.
Yes, Bland and Ferguson are really the ones in 2022 that kind of save it.
Guyton, we don't know yet. I think he was hurt all last year. I'm not sure. No, he played 15 games. Never mind.
Yeah, and Guyton's an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's Neyland, their second rounder.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't give you much in 11 games, but he's banged up. You know, you need to see more from what you've got in your draft classes,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise they've kind of been very unspectacular as of late, and the plates are starting to wobble here in Jerry Land.
I mean, that is where you get to where we're talking about even with some of these named stars, they're not going to do well. And a lot of it, yeah, is it's more the depth guys aren't very good. They're very top heavy. They've got 2, you know, Pro Bowl level corners. They both have picked up injuries though, and Diggs, while is a great kind of big play corner, he can get burned very often.
And even then, once you start getting past 2020, we're not looking at the same kind of roster mm-hmm. management at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, Parsons is the gem of your 21 draft, right? Outside of that, what have you gotten in 21? Not much.
Not much. 803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Adam is with us next. Adam, how are we doing?
Not too bad, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. The
Parsons thing. Now, I do agree that they should have gotten more in the trade. But I think what makes Jerry, a genius out of all of this is just simply not paying him. You know, if you look at, you know, the defensive end position, and I'm not seeing Parsons on this list because I'm assuming he's probably listed as a linebacker.
Linebacker, yeah.
But, you know, T.J. Watt, $41 million a year. Okay, like the Steelers are a threat to win the Super Bowl? No. Then you got Myles Garrett, and then Danielle Hunter, and then Max Crosby, Nick Bosa. I mean, none of these guys are on teams that I believe are threats to win Super Bowls, which kind of lends to the fact, like, if you're not paying a quarterback this type of money, then why invest it? You know, why not try to get as many assets as you can for a player, which, again, I think they probably could have gotten more. But I just don't see the investment into the defensive end position. I hated the idea for Parsons for the Bills
mm-hmm.
to begin with, just for the simple fact that they rotate that position so much. And what, you're going to pay $50 million a year for a guy who's going to play 50% of your snaps? You know, if you're going to be paying a guy this much, he needs to be putting points on the board. And I understand, you know, the economics of the position, you know, supply and demand and all this stuff. I just think it was a smart move from Dallas to simply not pay him and see what they can do for the future. So I'll hang up and listen, and thanks for taking my call.
Adam, thanks for calling in, man. And on that point, I think it's a really good one, too, that, you know, maybe the best thing is not paying him. It's also – that's a conversation I've had about wide receiver and why – not necessarily going to pay the biggest guy and having, you know, all that money to a 1,400-yard, 100-catch guy every year does well. Looking at the highest-valued wide receiver contracts, it's Chase in Cincinnati, Jefferson in Minnesota, Lamb in Dallas, Metcalf in Pittsburgh, and Garrett Wilson in with the Jets. I'd argue Minnesota is in a good spot. I really like them. they aren't paying a quarterback yet.
They're not paying a quarterback yet. And he's also kind of the question mark. How good are you really?
Jefferson?
No, Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota, yes, with McCarthy.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, how good are you really? Minnesota. Yeah, no, why? How dare you even assume that that's where I'm going with that?
I was lost. I was like, what?
I'm actually caught. You betrayed me, as a matter of fact.
But yeah, he's the huge question mark. Did they actually hit a quarterback? If they did, you're going to see them have to get rid of guys like maybe Addison because, well, you're going to have to spend all that money on a quarterback. We've talked endlessly with the Chiefs or with the Bengals. They are so top heavy on just offense
that their defense has actively kept them out of the playoffs the last few years.
Dallas with CeeDee Lamb.
And even then, the pass rusher thing, he brings up TJ Watt. TJ Watt is TJ Watt, Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson. We're looking at some of the top end players that are getting paid on the defensive end. TJ Watt is probably the one that I would pay all that money to because he does actively break the game.
He's had moments. He's a big reason why Pittsburgh's been able to have these winning seasons
He's why Pittsburgh has been able to stay relevant. They're nothing without TJ Watt, I think. People are like, oh, Mike Tomlin's been there forever. Yeah, he's not the reason. His stability is not why they go 9-8 Super Bowl. It's because of TJ Watt.
But it is curious, though, to look at it. I mean, like Parsons now in Green Bay. I think we can argue Green Bay is a good team. But Watt with Pittsburgh, I think, is an average team. Garrett on Cleveland, bad team. Danielle Hunter on Houston, good team. Crosby on the Raiders, I think unknown, but probably closer to a middling team. Nick Bosa with San Francisco, they're very much on their way out. Cincinnati with Trey Hendrickson, we've mentioned them. Montez Sweat with Chicago, middling team, maybe good. Andrew Van Ginkle, Minnesota, good team. Then you get to Karloftis, Leonard Williams, you're getting to Greg Rousseau as well. The best teams aren't really spending that huge money. In Green Bay, I mentioned last night on the nightcap, they are getting close to they're going to have to let some of their depth go now. They're the first team to spend $100 million on two players, Jordan Love and now Micah Parsons. Their depth will get hurt probably after this year.
And this is where it's a unique balance because like most of those teams with the top five salaries with pass rushers, they don't have a quarterback, most of them.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
The Texans have one, but like, how good is CJ Stroud really?
Mm-hmm. Even Vegas, it's a smaller deal for Geno Smith.
Yeah, I don't think Geno Smith's the answer there. The 49ers, how good is Brock Purdy really? He just got the deal.
Chicago is not paying Caleb Williams. We've mentioned Minnesota. They're not paying J.J. McCarthy.
The Giants are not paying
Jackson Dart.
Any of their quarterbacks, really. It is that balance of you have a quarterback or do you have other pieces? And I think, though, the thing with the Packers is you might have both.
That's
the fascinating part of this now.
We have not touched on what this does for Green Bay, and that's maybe to our detriment, but Green Bay has vaulted into, I think, around the same category as Philadelphia. They should be looking at this as an NFC championship appearance or bust.
Yes. And the best part for me, I think, that is Green Bay really does have this opportunity, even in a bad year, to still come out of this looking okay.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this off the air of like, what's the worst that can happen with the Green Bay Packers now with how their roster is constructed overall? The NFC North is not easy, but we don't know how good Minnesota is really. J.J. McCarthy could sink the whole ship for all we know. I don't think the Bears are going to be good. I think Caleb Williams is indeed a bust. I don't think that he should have been the first overall pick. Nothing about him really, when I watched him, saw me thinking he's a top-tier NFL quarterback. I don't think so. As a matter of fact, they probably felt pressured to take the quarterback even though the pick wasn't theirs that they got first overall.
Mm-hmm.
But because you got the first overall pick 2 years in a row, why are you not? Right? So it just turns into this, you're taking him just to take him. With Parsons going to Green Bay and how balanced their roster overall is, and now the last burning question that they have is kind of gone, now you have a defensive end pairing of Parsons with Rashawn Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Gary's a solid player in his own right.
Made a Pro Bowl last year.
Consistently
getting around 7 sacks a year.
Nine and a half sacks a couple of years back. Like, he is a very consistent player. He is who he is. tell me that man ain't going to hit double digits now because the defenses are going to have to focus on Parsons.
Gary may never face a double team again.
Never again. And that's good. The defense gets better. The secondary doesn't have to deal with it anymore. Like the
Their corner room is suspect.
But now,
yeah.
How do you help a corner room that's suspect?
Mm-hmm.
You get them pass rush to hurry decisions.
Yep.
That is where that marriage comes in. On offense, I think Jordan Love is good enough to take the Packers where they need to go in the NFC. I also think that Green Bay's roster is good enough that you can get it done too. You have a balance of wide receiver depth. None of them is ever going to end up being a star player, but they're probably what you'd call good enough. The collection.
Just wait on Matthew Golden. Just
Golden, that's right. And they do draft Matthew Golden.
Wait on Matthew Golden.
So ready? So what if they do add a top-tier piece to a bunch of receivers that are solid, if not spectacular, right. If Golden gets there? An offensive line that's decent enough to get the job done. And even a backup quarterback that can win you 8 games if Jordan Love's out for the year.
Malik Willis was 2-0 last year.
Malik Willis was not only just 2-0, he was solid.
He played well. He played very well, yeah.
That's the other portion of this. They have a good backup quarterback, too. In a league where it's got to be quarterback or death, they have one of the better backup options now.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Tennessee. And you have the opportunity now, at worst, 7 wins. And that's if Love's out for the year.
Oh, that's if they occur a ton of injuries.
Or the worst injury.
Yeah. That's what it would have to be. Now, I will say, though, and I mentioned this on the nightcap, like we talked about the wide receiver depth, you're losing a lot of those guys. Golden has to hit because you're going to lose a good portion of them.
But what's Green Bay do already with the wide receiver room?
No, that's right. They've built
this
themselves.
This played into their hands.
They built themselves perfectly. Like, yeah, cool, take another guy in the third.
This played into their hands. Yeah.
No, it's been a while since I've brought it up, but the Green Bay model of just kind of keep throwing darts at the dartboard with the wide receiver position in rounds 1 through 4 and just get a bunch of guys.
And in terms of team building, what would I rather invest more heavily in? Is it going to be a top-tier wide receiver or a top-tier pass rusher? And the answer is always going to be a pass rusher. Because a great quarterback can get you more out of less with your wide receiver room.
Yeah, Allen wins the MVP with Mac Hollins leading the team in touchdown receptions.
A top-tier pass rusher gets more from less out of a secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the impact that a quarterback
does
with a wide receiver, but it helps. One of the reasons the Bills were not good last year in the postseason was because their pass rush was not up to snuff that day. It does not hurt to try to benefit that way. You have a top-tier corner, for example. This Joey Bosa addition is why it's a big deal. Because if you can marry it with Rousseau and Bosa playing up to the cap hits that they have, and you already have a top-end corner, maybe you can actually fix things for once.
Yeah, but it's also where you get excited about, to the extent you can in the preseason, I know, why you get excited about Deion Walker and TJ Sanders and how they played. It doesn't have to just be edge rushers. Aaron Donald is the best defensive player I've ever seen in person. I never saw a Rams game live, but you know what I mean. On TV while I'm living. He's the best one I've ever seen. He was a defensive tackle. Not saying Deion Walker's going to be that, but you can still get that elite pass rusher from the interior. That's what they wanted at Oliver to be. That's where it is exciting. We'll see how the secondary options go, especially as you mentioned with the Joey Bosa addition as well. And I agree with you in terms of what would you rather have, the high-end wide receiver contract or the high-end edge rusher contract. I mentioned it yesterday to some listeners who I was going back and forth on Twitter. Pass rusher is the only position outside of quarterback that I would spend multiple firsts to get. It's the only one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And even then, Parsons has more versatility. He's not just an edge rusher. You can play him off ball.
It's arguably where he does his best work is not a hand in the ground kind of deal.
So why not? Because you have more versatility on him, and he's a top-tier pass rusher. You get the best of both worlds.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Mike, we'll get to your call after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
We not only gives us four first-round picks over the next 2 years. Nothing says we can't use some of those picks right now to go get somebody right now. Don't rule that out.
Cubs owner and general manager Jerry Jones last night in his press conference with the local Dallas media, Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers. He's not using those picks to trade for a real player, like now players, is he? I don't think so.
No, he's using that's a save face moment, but that's also... Oh, the mystery box. It could be anything, Lois. Yep. It could even be a boat. We'll take the box. But I don't know why I'm in my impersonation mode right now today, but that's what I'm doing today.
It's just...
I'm just a silly kid today.
You know, look, the Cowboys have won, and they've won a lot. And so, you know, bear with me for a moment. This is where... These are the points where I feel bad for, like, these kind of fan bases. I mentioned it last night. I'm almost 30. I'm 27. Most of my life, I've not seen... a dominant Dallas team. Right. I know the stories. I just watched a documentary on it, right? There are going to be so many people around my age, a little bit younger, a little bit older, never seen Dallas be seriously relevant outside of remember what they did in the 70s and the 90s. And it just, it feels like it is getting so much further away from them. You look at teams like Pittsburgh, who probably for most of their history, they're up there with like the Yankees in terms of the most consistent and great sports franchises in North
America.
Dominant. Yeah. You think of Steelers, you think of winning. You think of great teams, you think of Hall of Fame players. And that was for most of their history. Everyone's got a down period, don't get me wrong, but it's most of their history. Now, and it's not even that long ago when they've won a Super Bowl. It's way longer for Dallas, but now they're considered out of touch. They're living in the past. They don't really know what they're doing. All of these things, and that's the Steelers. They, again, have won more recently. They've been to an AFC championship more recently than Dallas has been to an NFC championship. They've been to two Super Bowls and won one of them. No, excuse me, they've been to three and won two of them, Seattle and the Arizona one.
Yep.
Since Dallas has been in the NFC championship game. And yet look how quickly we all flipped on Pittsburgh in terms of how we feel about them. It goes the same way with success, right? Kansas City was always kind of like a middle team in the AFC. They've had their moments. They had their down years. They had their success early. Now, they can't miss. They're perfect. The Bills locally, for the longest time, was they're cheap. They can't do anything right. They're just happy they're still in Buffalo. Now, they're considered one of the most well-run organizations in the sport after off of 5 years, 6 years.
It is almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Since the Dallas Cowboys have made the NFC Championship game.
They had the longest drought in the NFC for that. Everyone else in the conference has made the NFC Championship.
Which is hilarious because, ready? The Carolina Panthers did not. Did they exist in 1996? I don't think they did. Hang on.
No, I was going to say that they may have because they do beat Dallas in a playoff game with Aikman and Irv and Smith. They do beat them in a playoff game. I mean, they're still new. Don't get me wrong.
1995, and they start with a 7-9 record.
Yeah.
So, ready? The birth of the Carolina Panthers is the last time that the Dallas Cowboys made an NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
They won it, but it's the last time they even made it that far.
Carolina's been to two Super Bowls?
Carolina has been to two Super Bowls.
They haven't won one, obviously, but they've been to two.
They've won two championships in the NFC. Since the last time you showed up there.
The Bills, in a more dominant conference, have been to two AFC championships in a five-year period. In a much more dominant conference.
The Arizona Cardinals. a team that has been known for just mediocrity defined.
Laughingstock of the league or one of those teams. Oh,
or
yeah.
Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
They've won an NFC championship. Not only just that,
they've been to a few of them, haven't they?
They've been to a couple.
Yeah.
But they've, my key here is they've won one.
Yeah.
Most of the, I think most of, I don't think it's all of them, but most teams have won an NFC championship since the last time you've even been there and won it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has been there before you now. And it looks like that trend's going to continue. You're also the only team, as of this moment, to lose to a 7 seed. Just to twist the knife further, it's those dang Packers.
Oh, I mentioned it. I can't remember who said it, but I saw Marcus Mosier, he quote tweeted it to talk about it. And it was this guy mentioning, like, the Packers have kind of been there to ruin some of your best seasons, 2014, 2016, 2023. They've been the team to ruin those seasons. They beat you a lot of the times, by the way, in Dallas. The one is Dez Bryant, what is a catch? That's in Green Bay. But the other one is, you know, Rodgers down the sideline. And the other one, of course, as you mentioned, it's the lone 7 seed to beat a 2 seed. It's Jordan Love. And you're blown out. I mean, we talk about those games, Derek, and, you know, as Bills fans especially these last few years, the Bills are perennially the 2 seed. It's the wild card smackdown. Who's the random team that fell into the playoffs? We're just going to beat the hell out of them for 3 hours and move on to the divisional round where we're going to hope and pray they get through that. But the wild card round is, no, we're going to beat them up. That's what's going to happen. Dallas is the lone team that even makes that argument of a 7 seed worth having because a 7 seed did win.
There's even in 2015, the two teams that I picked out of that, Carolina and Arizona, they face each other in the NFC Championship game 10 years ago.
That would have been Carson Palmer and Cam Newton?
Correct.
Yeah, that's 2015 year, yeah.
Yeah, but that's two teams that I picked on.
I think that wouldn't have been Carson Palmer. I think he's hurt. It's like Drew Stanton that starts that game or something like that.
I don't remember.
Oh.
But, again, the Saints go to their Super Bowl. They win it. Like, everybody has been here since you have not. And it's hilarious.
They're the only ones. 803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Mike is with us next. Mike, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are a mess, man. I think the majority of the league is looking at this, and if Jerry Jones makes this trade, you know, before the draft and whatnot, it makes sense. But, like, just to trade your best player, like, around this, I don't know, like, less than a week before your first game of the season is kind of wild to me. But, like, the most, like, just baffling thing to me is trading your best player within the conference. Like, if the Buffalo Bills did this, I would, like, for instance, the Buffalo Bills trading their best player, Josh Allen, to the Bengals or Kansas City, like, that's just baffling to me. I'm sorry. I'm taking less of a value and making sure that this guy is not in my conference because, I mean, regardless that they're rebuilding, I mean, next year, if they're going for it, they're going to see this guy. And they're going to see him week four.
Yeah. Sunday night football, baby. Sunday night football in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm baffled. But, yeah, thanks, guys.
Mike, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
You mentioned that. Look at this offseason. How many of us actually thought Cincinnati would trade Trey Hendrickson to anyone in the AFC, let alone Buffalo?
There was actually that. The funniest report about the Trey Hendrickson one was, like, they mentioned two different ways that the Cleveland Browns were out of it. They didn't want to trade anyone within their division. Oh, also not to a team in Ohio. Why do you need to put the second
part
in there?
There's only two of you in Ohio. The other one is Cleveland. But you mentioned them already.
Now, you mentioned the Chiefs, though, as well. Because, like, think about it. The Packers have been that knife in the side, kind of like the Chiefs have been to the Bills,
that's
right?
That's why I wanted to mention is that the Packers have beaten them in the playoffs recently.
This fan base has not been able to handle making minor trades with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Worthy put a dent into everyone's...
No, you're right. Like,
freaking
even,
mindset.
Even minor trades that absolutely could work out for both does lead to a level of panic.
What do you mean you traded with the Chiefs? Like, sweat starts pouring down the sides of everyone because you mentioned that the Chiefs and the Bills made a trade and everyone here is going, I've now soiled my pants in panic.
I think it's totally right, though. Like, you want to get that kind of player out of the conference.
To think that you could trade the best player of your team to another franchise that has been the craw in your side.
It is crazy.
And I think about how this area melts down when we make a minor trade with the Chiefs now.
Yeah.
That angle has me back on, like, giggle bits.
But and to the callers, though, is the first point. You could at least argue it if it was during the draft or around the draft. You would get in a bidding war. You'd maybe get the best price.
Right.
You could even argue, too, because let's say you get three firsts from Green Bay and a player. Guys, we hurt them. They might be great this year. We hurt them in the long run.
And I want David Putney just because I feel like it.
Instead, now it's like you can't argue that. You got a 29-year-old defensive tackle who just had his worst statistical year and two firsts that are absolutely going to be in the 20s. You didn't hurt them. You've made them significantly better, and they've been a team that has burned you in three of your better seasons in the last decade.
You could have made Kevin Costner look like a fool.
Let's go back to the phones. Randy is next up. Randy, how are we doing?
Doing all right. How are you guys?
Thanks
for taking the call.
Thank you.
So, Dallas, those poor fans. First in basketball, they lose the best player in the league. You know, now they lose the best defender in the NFL. Buffalo was in the, was there to take Micah. We were in the running, especially when I see the national broadcasters talking about Buffalo. They missed an opportunity. I just don't understand really why we don't take a shot on these guys. I know you're going to have to spend a lot more now. Look at what Philly's done, as far as their cap issues. They basically, they void a couple years and they push it down the road, so they're going to have a big cap in, 2030.
Right, yeah.
But they're winning now. They won a Super Bowl. They've been to the Super Bowl. We haven't been there. The salary cap keeps going, higher and higher. And, when you talk to everybody, as long as we have Josh, we're going to have a shot. I feel like down the road, we'd be able to figure it out. Yeah, it's going to be high. Yes, it's going to be higher. But you want to win now, So why is it that we don't take those chances? We don't want to spend our money. Is he a little bit too conservative maybe with thinking about down the road rather than winning a Super Bowl, going to get this guy? I know that on defense we rotate our defensive ends, and but we don't have a Micah Parsons. You're not going to rotate one of the best, pass rushers since LT.
Randy, I will say this real quick. Randy, and I wanted to be able to ask him this, but I think they have that for a year. It's Joey Bosa.
They're hoping.
It's that they did this already. We don't seem to think of it that way, but they made this move already. They got Joey Bosa. That is their answer to that checkbox. And cap being fungible, maneuverable, I'm totally buying that. It's that I think they made that move. And they think they made that move. It's only for a year, but they made that move. Which is why I hate how that timeline happened, because I would have loved to have realistically been in the conversation for the Bills to get in a bidding war for Parsons. Like, I genuinely would have loved to have that happen.
And here, it's not just Parsons, but we've mentioned Hendrickson. Like, that holding's over.
Right.
But it's only a one-year deal.
And now,
at 31, he will be a free agent, unrestricted. The Bills will be a part of that.
The Bills will be a part of that, because Bosa's cap hit will be gone. And you also now have a top tier or high profile end pass rusher missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the timeline of when this Cowboys thing happened, it's so messed up that it went nuclear in a month's time when the Bills moved on.
Most teams had moved on.
And not just Parsons, but like all pass rushers, because Garrett was the first name. Then it was Hendrickson. And Parsons, it was in the background, but like nobody really thought of it. You only thought of it to dream. That's the part that, like, I'm not going to get on the Bills about this, because I can acknowledge they think they have their answer. His name is Joey Bosa.
Or internally, Rousseau. I've mentioned I think he could maybe
Rousseau
take that next
step. Member of that draft class.
Right.
He is toward the end of the same draft that Parsons is taken of the first round. So they may think that it's both. They have the top-end pass rusher that you can get from the outside, as well as they gave Greg Rousseau that extension. They think they have their answers. Is that the correct answer to the question? I don't know. We're going to find out together, painfully or not. We're all going to find that out together. But I also think it's that it happened too late.
Yeah.
It happened too late, and it's not just for the Bills, like you just said. It's for everybody. Because everyone that wanted in on the Trey Hendrickson talks, or when Myles Garrett initially asked for a trade in February, mm-hmm. and then a month later he stays with Cleveland. Parsons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Was not a realistic option until late July. When, if we did not look at this roster and see a top-end pass rusher, we would have all been up in arms.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, it could have ended with the Bills getting Micah Parsons, for example. But are you telling me that you would have, are you telling me collectively that we would have been okay with this roster having Greg Rousseau and then Michael Hoyt being the second option? Oh, wait, he's suspended?
Yeah, so it's AJ Epenesa and Greg Rousseau for the first 6 weeks at least.
And then what? Are we relying on Landon Jackson, who's shown nothing through the first part of his training camp, of his first training camp? Are we relying on Javon Solomon? Like, mm-hmm. it's a different conversation at that point, and it's probably more maddening.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up. It's been a pleasure taking your calls, getting connected with our fans, which is always brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com.
I did want to bring up something else that last caller had, mm-hmm. which was the poor Dallas fans thing. Like, you lost Doncic, and now you lost Parsons. To a point where the Dallas Stars yesterday had to tweet out, No, Miro Heiskanen is staying a star. You almost lost Jason Robertson.
Yeah, well, you still might actually.
You still might actually, too.
Down the road, yeah.
I cannot wait for that, too, because if Robertson gets traded now, too, that's three of them within a little bit more than a calendar year at that point. Still hilarious to me.
Yeah, and then the Luka Doncic thing as well. You lose him and arguably just straight up called fat and his conditioning is bad.
Right.
And then now with the Lakers, his conditioning looks to be superb. I mean, they had the whole, like, photo shoot with him, like, looking skinny, looking fit. And you're like, seriously? He couldn't do that here? I mean,
yes.
They have some championships, though, so I can only feel so bad. Real quick before we do wrap up, I do want to mention this because college football, the first college game day of the year is tomorrow morning, yes. But it is also the last one for Lee Corso, who, Derek, I was talking to you in the break. He is not a role model or an icon, but he was an important part of me.
Icon's the right word.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, though, in terms of, like, I want to do this because of Corso. It wasn't that. But he was so fundamental in my childhood of becoming a college football fan. And for a part there in my life, especially younger, more of a college football fan than I was an NFL fan. Corso was a big part of that. He's been with ESPN for College Game Day since 87 when the program got started. He is iconic for the, you know, where they're at. He's going to put the headgear on of the mascot.
It was great. Like, he would always put on the mascot head, where they were at, for what game they were covering, the Corso pick.
Yep.
It's always iconic.
And, well, maybe this should have happened a few years ago. I probably will get emotional seeing him for the last time with especially Texas and Ohio State. Should be great. Lee Corso retiring after tomorrow's College Game Day. Coming up next, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.